Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. This is Racing Across America. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. There's some kind of echo in here. There we go. I didn't quite know where that was coming from. Day after, and if you looked at Twitter, just walking around, a lot of people had that 21. How did that happen? A lot of people had it. I will say, on Twitter, a lot of people had their tickets, so they had it, clearly. And I suppose there's a little more impetus to tweet and brag if you've had the 80-1 shot, so that may explain that. But it seemed like a lot of people were hitting the all button or like the number 21 or whatever, but it was not me. The handicapping principles flew out the window yesterday. And about mid-stretch, I was sitting pretty. I was in clover yesterday. But, I mean, it was a fun day. Results like that take a little bit of the air out of the balloon. There's kind of a fun story, I suppose, to it in that, you know, they claimed the horse first career start at Ellis last August was a maiden special event on the turf. The horse tossed into dud. The follow-up, they dropped the horse in for a maiden claiming tag of 30 at Churchill. The horse won easily and was claimed for 30. And since then, hadn't done a whole lot. I mean, I ran third in the Jeff Ruby, got some points to sit on the AE list, and with Ethereal Road out, moves in from the AE list. So there were some good storylines that, yeah, you know, you can jump in and claim a horse for $30,000 and wind up in the Derby. Jockey Sonny Leone gets his first graded stakes victory in the Derby. I think it was the trainer's second graded stakes victory, if I read correctly. So there's some good stories, certainly. But like I say, it kind of takes the air out of the balloon because...
Thank you, Cole. Just in front of the Tin Miner, in fact, is our three sons, number four. And it's a warm welcome.
We look
back
at the prep
Page Fuller in the saddle. Page
kind of study and comment on the preps all year long, and then you get the last 2 weeks and you're studying and whatnot, and then it's throw that out the window, the crazy result. And so it's just, like I say, it takes a little of the air out of the balloon as far as the Derby. Now, that said, I will once again recommend, I've talked about it before, I jumped in, I got texts from a couple of people who had done the same thing. I jumped in the last pool with the all others, the last future pool, and pools 4 and 5. So I wound up making a little bit of money from that angle. But again, about the middle of the stretch, I thought I was going to do quite a bit better. I had called it Epicenter, Pioneer of the Nile, Zandon Simplification. So I had those four box on exactas and triples. Any of those four come in, I hit some pick bets and some doubles. So it was going to be a nice result if any of those four got it done. Well, Epicenter, Zandon, and Simplification won 2, 3, 4 behind the crazy 80-1 Rich Strike. And again, mid-stretch, it looked like it was going to play out to be a great Derby with that stretch duel we kind of anticipated might happen at Epicenter and Zandon. And then up the inside comes Rich Strike with Sonny Leone on board at $163 in change, and ended the hopes of a lot of people and made some people clearly happy, as they say on Twitter and whatnot. But it's just a tough horse to come up with looking at the PPs. That all said, it kind of fell apart given the early fractions, and it played out similar to what I was hoping for Epicenter, just not in the way I thought. Given that pace, I was hoping maybe Summer Is Tomorrow goes out, Classic Causeway goes with them, but they're setting, you know, legit but reasonable fractions. Epicenter's maybe sitting third, fourth, right behind. Top of the stretch comes, well, Epicenter early on was more in the eighth area, which I didn't anticipate. But then when you saw the early fractions, Joel Rosario made the right move. And then he made the move on the stretch. Things collapse up front. He makes the move and winds up taking the lead. Zandon right there. And it looked like Cream had risen to the top. And we were going to get that battle down the lane. And then, as they say, the crazy result happened. After the early pace, Summers Tomorrow fades to last in the field of 20. Crown Pride, who was right out there with him. And again, I was looking at Summers Tomorrow Classic Causeway. Classic Causeway, not in the hunt at all early, but it was Crown Pride, the Japanese horse, who they were commenting. I was watching, you folks may have been watching the NBC signal, or if you were at one of the parlors and watching on the computer like me, you were watching maybe the simulcast signal. They were talking about Crown Pride being kind of keyed up in the paddock. And so he took off, and they pushed it 21 and change, 45 and change. They hit the three quarters in 110. From what I read, that first, the 21 and change was the fastest opening quarter of the Derby ever. So the pace was hot and kind of melted down. That played into, I think, the fluky result. And I think that's all you can say, a fluky result. We'll see how Rich Strike... You know, Rich Strike, it gets compared to Mind That Bird and Giacomo. If you look at Mind That Bird's record, I mean, he was crazy in the Derby, but he was a stakes winner already. He had won a couple of stakes up in Canada in his two-year-old season. Mind That Bird, or Giacomo, who I liked and played in the Derby, had some stakes placings out in Southern California that put him in the mix. But Rich Strike, you look, again, won that maiden claiming race that he was claimed out of. Runs third after that in an optional claimer. Then tries Stakes Company down at the Fairgrounds, a well-beaten fifth. A Turfway Stakes race runs third. The Battaglia Turfway runs fourth. And then third in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. Behind Tiz the Bomb and Tawnyport, who were also in yesterday. So it was hard to think, he's going to turn the tables on those two in the Kentucky Derby. So, boy, the resume was just tough to make the case for. And so we'll see, again, with this horse. Maybe he's turned the corner. From what I read, he got a 101 buyer yesterday. His previous best buyer was the 84 in the Jeff Ruby Stakes. That was on synthetic. His best dirt buyer was, well, the win at Churchill was a 65. So he improves on that 36 points. I just think this was a very fluky result. And I think by the time we get around to the Travers, it's going to be hard to consider Rich Strike in the upper echelon of three-year-olds. Not that I'm rooting against him. I just think that's the reality of the situation. I think this was a really, really fluky result. But we will see how it plays out going forward into the summer and whatnot. And it's going to be interesting to see. You would have to think with connections like this, so long as the horse comes out of the race okay, they're on to the Preakness. I mean, you know, you strike lightning strikes like this with a $30,000 claimer, and you wind up winning the Kentucky Derby with them, one, two, three, four, six starts later. I think somewhere in the back of your head, you're thinking, hey, let's see if we can get a Triple Crown winner. I think that is highly unlikely that they will, but it seems like, again, if the horse comes out of the race, you go in 2 weeks. So we'll see. Over the next couple of days, we'll get a feel for, you know, who's heading on to the Preakness out of this race. But you would have to think they would be inclined to take the shot. But as I say, I think as we get to the three-year-old highlight in our neck of the woods, the Travers, I'm thinking Rich Strike is kind of out of the conversation. But it's going to be interesting to watch and see what he does going forward. I pulled up the replay, and we'll just take a look at that. And again, check out this crazy early pace. When they come out of the gate, again, Rich Strike was in he's number 21, but there was the scratch of Ethereal Road. So he's in the far outside post position. Sonny Leon takes a left turn, and, you know, people are giving him the thumbs up on the ride. And again, at first graded stakes when he's a mid-America kind of a runner, a jockey. Friday, he was riding at Belterra. So Belterra, Mahoning Valley, and he's won some titles at some of those tracks. He's only been riding in this country since I think 2015. But people complimenting him and, you know, win the Derby, deservedly so, on the ride. So you can kind of keep your eyes on him throughout and get an idea. Again, number 21, Rich Strike will be the winner. Top of the stretch, mid-stretch, I thought, again, we were going to get that. And had it been Epicenter and Zandon, it would have been kind of a Derby for the ages, because they came out of the turn, they lock up. It looked like Zandon had the momentum. Then Epicenter had the heart to hold on. And all of a sudden, who's coming on the inside? They talked to Steve Asmussen after the race, and he was kind of like, people are going to say to me tomorrow, what happened? I'm going to say, I don't know what happened. That was crazy. And I think that was the feelings for many, many of us. But here, we'll take a look at the replay from yesterday's Kentucky Derby. The upset at 80-1, Rich Strike, aptly named for those people who took a little pop on number 21. So yesterday's Kentucky Derby up next.
Kentucky Derby. Good beginning, and Summer Is Tomorrow takes it to him right off the mark. Straight to the front, and Crown Pride is showing speed too. And Messier is not far behind either. Taba toward the outside, past the Twin Spires for the first time. Summer Is Tomorrow setting the pace down inside, and Crown Pride is going to stalk the pace on the outside in second. Zozo's comes on to be third. Messier with a great spot toward the rail in fourth. Cyberknife comes away in fifth. Taba's racing in sixth. Charge It in tight toward the rail while seventh. Epicenter comes out racing in eighth. Smile Happy is ninth. Pioneer of Medina on the outside in 10th. Zandon toward the inside 11th. Pratt is patient with him. And then it's White Abario racing in 12th. Classic Causeway far off the pace today in 13th. Tawny Port is 14th. Simplification is 15th by 3. Tis the Bomb is 16th. Ridge Strike is 17th. Mo Donegal lingering near the back of the pack in 18th, followed by Barber Road. Happy Jack is the trailer. Down the backstretch run, a merciless pace. 45 1/5 seconds in the Kentucky Derby. Down the backstretch they go. Summer Is Tomorrow, Crown Pride, and now Messier splits them and comes on through. Here's Messier now taking the lead for the far turn run. Crown Pride tries to go with Messier. Epicenter is on the move now. Epicenter's making progress as they round the far turn, and Cyberknife is there too. So too Smile Happy. Zandon is picking through the pack. Zandon is switched on, and here he comes. Charge It is there. White Abario coming with a wide sweeping move. Taba's trying to find a way through, as is Tawny Port, as the field turns for home at Churchill Downs. Epicenter running for the roses. He turns for home in front by 3, but Zandon is digging in, and here comes Zandon now. Zandon's closing in quickly. Simplification is late on the scene. Tawny Port and Barber Road, final 16th of the Derby, and it's still Epicenter. Zandon surging, and here comes Rich Strike down toward the inside. It's a wild finish in the Kentucky Derby, and on the wire, Rich Strike does it. Wow! A shocker in the Kentucky Derby! Epicenter ran second. Zandon was third. It's tight for fourth. Simplification or Mo Donegal. It is Rich Strike at 80-1.
Upstate New York's own Travis Stone with the call. Yeah, wow, a stunner in the Derby. You ain't kidding, Travis. After, again, yesterday or Friday's just spectacular call of the Oaks, where Wayne can still train. Great job by Travis, again, Scroon Lake native. But boy, and look at him come on the inside. Again, I'm thinking mid-stretch, Zandon, Epicenter, dueling, simplification right there. I'm thinking I got a triple and exactas, and oh, yeah, this was a stunner, no question about it. So, again, now, I will say, three of my four were right there, second, third, and fourth. Pioneer of Medina, who I also had in my mix and I thought was very intriguing at a big price. Boy, that horse was a real disappointment. Summer Is Tomorrow, who went out and set the pace, fades to last in the field of 20. But Pioneer of Medina winds up 19th. And a number of horses that seemed like real players just were nowhere here. Pioneer of Medina was 19th, but Cyberknife was 18th, Charge It 17th, White Abario 16th, Messier 15th, and the Santa Anita Derby top two were very disappointing, with Messier running 15th and Taba running 12th in there. Crown Pride, the Japanese horse who was out kind of attending the pace, winds up 13th. Tis the Bomb runs 9th. Smile Happy runs 8th. Mo Donegal, who should have benefited from the pace, maybe a little bit disappointing. I mean, runs 5th, but again, given the situation with the pace, that was probably a little bit disappointing, but crazy result, $183.60. The $2 exacta, $4,100. The 50-cent trifecta, $7,435. And as I say, I talk about it often. I wound up with the future pools. A lot of people, you know, poo-poo the future pool. You got to pick your spots. You don't, in any of those future pools, you don't want anything really under 20-1 if you're going with the individual entrance. But you can play around with that all others. And people have gotten clever about that. So then usually in the first couple of pools, people rightfully think, you know, all others is probably going to include a lot of horses in these first couple of pools. But still, you can jump in the last two pools. And I think I wrote down... I brought in my, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it here, but I thought I brought in my plays in the future pool. Yeah, here we are. So coming in, all others, I played all others in pool 4 and pool 5, and that had, so it's the last two pools, and how many horses are you going to get with the last two pools? But I had... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I had 7 of the 20 horses. I had 8. I marked this last week. I had marked the winner, Rich Strike, who came in off the AE list. So I had 8 of the 20 horses included in that, all others in the last two pools. And so, again, that bailed me out a little bit with the scenario yesterday. And I would just help people to maybe... take a look at that. I also had some individual plays. I'll normally kind of pick a couple. I had another maybe 4 individual entrants in the future pools. But again, those you have to really look for a price, because you're not only looking to get in the gate. You're not only looking to win. You're looking to get in the gate in whatever it is, a month down the road, 2 months down the road, 3 months down the road. So you want to get the odds to reflect that as far as the individual entrance. But the all others over the years has been kind of good to me. So, I would just tout folks to maybe pay attention. Because, as I say, the last pool, it paid $39. So that was a nice result. Pool number 5, which was just, 2-3 weeks ago. So, that's something to, as I say, consider down the road a little bit. All right, let's take a look at some of the other stakes action from yesterday on a big stakes day down at Churchill Downs. This was the race that, for me, made my day, the Turf Classic. I had called it 5, 10, 6, 4, and 8. It came out 10, 5. I liked Mirror Mission. Mirror Mission was 10-1 on the morning line, went off at 8-1. Santin, who I had right underneath on the morning line, was 6-1 and went off 7-1. So they were in the vicinity of their odds, which were very good on the morning line and stayed pretty good. And as a public handicapper, clearly I wanted Mirror Mission to win at the 8-1. That would have been a nice one. But with my top two flip-flopped, I'm a guy who boxes up my exactas, play a little stronger on my top two. Running third in here was Adamo, who I had in the mix, so I boxed up some trifectas as well. And you can see number 5, Mirror Mission, my top pick, is right there. Number 10, Santin, I had underneath, pulls away here. And throughout this whole thing, I'm thinking, get up. And I thought I had a chance, and just now, Santin was a little too tough. And gets it done. All of that said and done, with my top two flip-flopped, and as I say, I had the exacta a little bit in there, $170 exacta for for the top two. And again, I had some trifecta action as well. The 50-cent trifecta with Adamo on top. I had a little play there. It was 193 for 50 cents. So again, that was the race. Otherwise, I had a couple of, we'll talk about it a little bit later, had a double underneath that was okay as well. Didn't pay much, but I had it a few times. But this was the one that kind of got me out on the day and made it an okay day. Because again, using this race as well, I had some doubles and some picks going into the Derby. But I was not one of the people with 21 on my ticket in the Kentucky Derby. So those dreams went out the window. But this was a nice result in the Turf Classic. Ian Wilkes trained Mira Mission, who, as I say, just came up a little bit short. But I thought that one off the last couple of races was very playable. Santon, it was Brendan Walsh, who had a nice winner on Friday as well. And somebody came up to me and mentioned there was a group out in the race book who were down at Gulfstream on Florida Derby Day. And we were talking yesterday about the nice day Brendan Walsh had on Florida Derby Day. I said that right after. I said he may be on a little bit of a roll, came into Keeneland, kind of continued that roll, and had a nice weekend. Brendan Walsh trained Santon for Godolphin. Fairly lightly raced, only five starts. Only five starts coming into the race. Now six starts and three wins, and picks up a nice grade one yesterday in the Turf Classic with Tyler Gaffleone on board. So again, nice result in the Turf Classic just overall, but for me it was a nice result. In the Churchill Downs Stakes itself, sprint stake, I took a little bit of a shot against Jackie's Warrior. I thought reinvestment risk was worth playing coming out of a second in the Carter. Reinvestment risk in the Carter had run second to Speaker's Corner, who is part of that juggernaut in the Bill Mott barn, juggernaut with Olympiad now, who won on Friday at Churchill. But I thought coming out of the second to Speaker's Corner, reinvestment risk was worth playing a little bit. But Jackie's Warrior kind of ran them off their feet. And for Jackie's Warrior, the early fractions, 22 and change, 45 and change, that is cruising speed for Jackie's Warrior. Came out of a win down at Oaklawn in the Count Fleet to start the season. Now in his second start at a four-year-old in the Grade One Churchill Downs yesterday, Jackie's Warrior will be the number three under Joel Rosario and lead him all the way around at even money. Reinvestment risk is the number five, who I thought was interesting. You can see in the Klarovich Silks. Going to get up for second to complete the exact. He got $15 on what I thought were the two logicals in here. So actually the exact wasn't bad. Running third is going to be Aloha West. That was the winner of last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint at 11-1 in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. So a little bit of an upset there. And yesterday went off as the second choice at 4-1. The third choice also at 4-1 was reinvestment risk. So again, the top choice over the third choice. But for me, two logicals. And again, the exacta that paid just under $16 I thought was okay. But Jackie's Warrior continues to impress for Steve Asmussen, Joel Rosario on board. Of course, we saw Jackie's Warrior kind of break out last year up here at Saratoga with the win in the Amsterdam and the Allen Jerkins with triple-digit buyers, and then went down to Philadelphia and won the Gallant Bob with yet another triple-digit. And then, unfortunately, excuse me, it's a 1-2 choice, faltered a little bit in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. But now, as a four-year-old, comes back 2-for-2 so far, including that nice win yesterday in the Churchill Downs. A little bit earlier on the card, it was the American Turf in that subdivision I like quite a bit for the three-year-old turfers. And I like Portfolio Company in here for Chad Brown and Klarovich. Ooh, that was a little bit disappointing. Went off at 9-2, but Portfolio Company disappoints and runs fifth in here. Stolen Base, the number nine horse, one I didn't use in my mix, but it was the horse was certainly usable, but was coming off a couple of synthetic races over at Turfway. The Battaglia ran a close-up second. Was a little bit disappointing in the Jeff Ruby. But three starts back was on the turf at Sam Houston and Texas Turf Mile. Ran an okay closing third and got it done Saturday in the American Turf. Number nine there, getting it done under Flavian Pratt. Running second, Belnikov and Sidog, the 2-1 favorite, runs third. But again, I'm wondering if Flavian Pratt didn't make a significant difference. He's going to be really interesting to watch as we get into late spring and summer and in New York because, again, I wonder if he made the difference. The horse went off at 5-1, $13 and change. And you go back, and Flavian Pratt had been on this horse in one previous start. That was last fall in the Bourbon at Keeneland, and this one just missed at 7-1. So two of the better races on the page for Stolen Base with Flavian Pratt on board. So as I say, it could be very intriguing to pay attention to going forward. Again, particularly with horses like that, you know, you maybe say, yeah, of course Flavian's going to be interesting to watch going forward. But if you're getting $13 and change, I don't know whether everybody's caught on that. And he, clearly, he's not going to move up every horse. But there may be some like this where you look back and you see, that last time he was on board was a pretty good try. And so this is going to be interesting to see how the betting public does take to him, what he can do in the colony in New York this summer, and particularly up here at Saratoga. Horse that I really liked and kind of got away at a little price yesterday was Obligatory in the Derby City Distaff. Boy, the race down at Gulfstream back on March 12th, the Here Comes the Bride, or Hurricane Birdie, excuse me, the Hurricane Birdie, just seemed like a phenomenal start to the four-year-old season. And this was some performance yesterday. And I had as I said earlier, I played a little double on the card that didn't pay much, but I had it a number of times. And it ended with this race, started with Jack Christopher a race earlier. So I used Jack Christopher and Obligatory. And for a buck, he got back $8 and change. As I said, I had it a number of times. But Obligatory went off at a nice 7-2. You got $9 and change here. So I thought it was a very good price, again, coming out of that four-year-old seasonal debut, which seemed to tout her as yet another solid runner this year for Bill Mott. But as I say, this was impressive. Jose Ortiz is on board. Obligatory is going to be the number five horse, and you will see. She is out of it, but this is her game. She's at the back of the pack there in the pink cap, the Judmont colors. And Jose Ortiz gets going. Up on the front, it's just one time, a very solid sprinter in her own right and the 3-2 favorite. But look at Obligatory, just keep going. Chart margin's gonna be 3/4 of a length, over four graces, just one time, fades to third. But again, they were in the stretch and she was in the back of the pack and just ground them down there, 122 and change. Obligatory, gonna be very interesting to watch as the season progresses, certainly. And again, following up a big four-year-old debut with a solid win yesterday in the Grade 1 Derby City Distaff. Obligatory, a very, very nice performance. And finally, let's take a look at that run by Jack Christopher yesterday in the Pat Day Mile. Chad Brown was quoted saying, you know, unfortunately, he said, it's great to be in the winner's circle at Churchill with a three-year-old on Derby Day. It's disappointing it's not the Derby with a horse that's this talented, but they just got a late start this year. Jack Christopher last year had won the Maiden Special up at Saratoga, had won the Grade 1 Champagne in a two-race campaign, then went to the sidelines, comes back on Saturday, going to be the number five horse, and at 3-5, gets it done. Chart margin is just about four lengths. Papa Cap second, My Prankster third. But Jack Christopher under Jose Ortiz for Chad Brown, getting it done nicely to kick off the three-year-old campaign. We'll see where he goes. Some people, you know, on Twitter were, hey, you know, what do you think? Preakness for Jack Christopher, and other people are saying, as a Chad Brown trainee, I don't know whether we can expect a two-week turnaround for start number two of the three-year-old season. I would think that's probably, particularly since early voting will go for Chad. But that said, nice three-year-old. We'll see what the summer holds. I would certainly think we'll see some three-year-old action from Jack Christopher up at Saratoga, but it was a promising start to the three-year-old campaign, clearly yesterday in the Pat Day Mile for Jack Christopher. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do a little news and notes, and maybe we'll plug in a little handicapping as well. So we'll head to a commercial break. We will continue for Sunday morning's Racing Across America right after this. Stay tuned.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku, try it now.
Stone is an outside.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Good morning, I'm Seth Merrill. Thanks for joining us. As I said, some news and notes in the news. Obviously, after yesterday was Churchill Downs, and boy, people were ready to play. The handle, all sources, Kentucky Derby card handle, $250 million, $273 million plus. That was a 17% increase, excuse me, over last year's numbers, and it was a 9% increase over the previous record, which was captured in 2019. So solid, solid wagering numbers yesterday. The entire week was very good as well. Derby week handle was up 25% from last year's number and 14% from the record in 2019. Those are just kind of blockbuster improvements. So folks were betting with both fists, and we were back to kind of the pre-COVID situation as far as fans and whatnot. Crowd of, it was 100,000+ on Friday. Yesterday, 147,000 plus showed up. So very, very solid numbers as far as the fans, and folks enjoyed the card. And boy, they lucked out. I mean, the card anywhere is certainly dependent on the weather, and particularly on a day like this, you know, a weekend like this with some really nice turf stakes, and people love the turf racing, nice big fields, and they bet into those. And so the weather, which really as late as Thursday was looking grim on Friday and better on Saturday, But as it turned out, it was okay both days. Towards the end of the day on Friday, there was a little bit of precipitation. Yesterday, it was great. And that's all you can ask for, given that the weather turning out nicely and the nice cards and the full fields and whatnot. People jumped in with both fists yesterday to play the Kentucky Derby, and really all week long down there at Churchill Downs. So it was a really nice week of racing, highlighted by yesterday's Kentucky Derby card. I won't say highlighted necessarily by the Derby itself, but again, I shouldn't complain because I did walk away with some of that all others. I hope some of you did too. Or I'm, as they say, there are. I was surprised by the number of people I ran into on Twitter. We were out in the race book, and there was a couple people here who had played Rich Strike. That's what horse racing's all about, and I'm rooting for everybody who had that one. But as I say, it's just after months of kind of anticipation and studying the preps and then a week of handicapping, a crazy result like that, just, oh, boy. But, again, there were opportunities, and if you played around on the undercard, maybe you walked away with some nice money there. As I say, the Turf Classic worked out well for me. I hope it did for you, too. And even if you didn't have the 21, there were still a couple of races left, and there were some opportunities there. So I'm hoping everybody walked away and made some money one way or the other, even if, like me, that the 21 was hard to come up with in the Derby itself. As I say, racing at any venue is dependent on the weather. And, boy, unfortunately, yesterday, opening day for Monmouth Park, and they canceled because of the rain. Any racetrack that cancels because of rain, it has to be coming down pretty good. And we were in here doing the early portion of OTB Live, and later I was out in the front half of the race book for the remainder of the afternoon. But early on, my monitor that shows a number of tracks was showing the Monmouth signal, and all of a sudden, it looked like it was coming down, and all of a sudden the graphic came up that they had canceled for opening day. But I bring it up, A, because it was opening day at Monmouth, but B, because Monmouth is going to be really interesting to watch this year because they're going to offer fixed odds betting. And I will recommend, I have it here, I will recommend, if you're curious about it, go to Matt Hagerty's column, and it was from the 5th, so it was a couple of days ago, a few days back, May 5th, Matt Hagerty in the Daily Racing Forum. Article is titled "The Ins and Outs of Fixed Odds Betting at Monmouth: Rules, Deductions, Scratches." It will be very interesting to see how it plays out, because I think we all think, oh, that fixed odds betting would be kind of fun because you lock in your odds. And, you know, the article makes the point, A, be aware of the rules. It was kind of interesting in here. Monmouth has an Australian bookie company essentially kind of overseeing things, which you need. You don't forget, fixed odds means somebody is setting the odds, and that's what they pay out. Parimutuel, you're playing against other players, so it's just automatically setting the odds as related to the amount of money that is bet and what gets paid. There is no way. I mean, there are minus pools occasionally where a horse is such a big favorite, but for the most part, the track isn't going to lose money because you're betting against other bettors, essentially. Well, fixed odds betting, the track, you have bad odds. The track can wind up on the short end there. And so you need a professional kind of bookmaking company or team to oversee the odds you're setting and adjust them accordingly and whatnot. But this Australian company in the Matt Hagerty article made a couple of good points. One of the rules they will have, which makes sense, it's fixed odds. So you walk up, and if you bet a horse at 3-1, you know, these days with parimutuel wagering, I can walk up and bet a horse at 3-1, walk away from the teller, and 2 minutes later, my horse can be 2-1, or my horse can be 8-1. And that's what I'm going to get. I'm not getting the price that was on the tote board when I bought the ticket. We all know you get the price of your horse as they come out of the gate, and betting gets finalized. That last flash, the final flash of the odds board is what you get, regardless of what it was when you bet it. Well, fixed odds, you're paid what the price was when you made the bet. So if I made the bet at 3-1, I get 3-1, regardless of what happens tote-wise and parimutuel wagering. However, I didn't realize this, but if anybody, and to do this, you're going to have to go down to Monmouth. I'd love to go down sometime and just kind of play around with this a little bit, just to see how it works. But if there are scratches, the rules now say they can deduct, essentially, from your price. So, you know, I bet a horse at 3-1, and the 1-5 shot in the race scratches, they can reduce your money. And the Australian company that is administering this has said, you know, we'll have signage up all over the place, but we have enough experience in Australia with bettors who are even used to this system that you get blowback to that. But it just makes sense that they would do that. So, but it's something to be aware of should you make a trip to Monmouth and jump into the fixed odds. You'll get the price, and if the field stays intact, you get the price. But depending on scratches, there may be some changes to the price you get. And also, they said they don't yet have any real rules in place as far as off-the-turf events. And I was surprised. The article said no turf racing at Monmouth for maybe the first 2 weeks. I'd have to look back at the article. But I was surprised that Monmouth doesn't have turf racing right off the bat. But I guess they still have a little time to kind of figure things out as far as turf racing. But the Australian company said, you know, we don't have off-the-turf down there, so we don't really have any rules, and we're trying to figure out how to address that kind of a situation. Right now it's going to be the Monmouth races, and again, if you go to the track at Monmouth, you'll be able to do it. That said, there's going to be a couple of special tellers that will do the fixed odds wagering. It's just going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. And it's just Monmouth, but a few other tracks, including I think the Naira tracks, have expressed some interest in maybe offering their product for this type of thing too down there in New Jersey. So just interesting to look over the shoulder of Monmouth over the next, you know, few weeks, couple of months, and see how things play out for them with this fixed odds scheme. Because I think everybody thinks, that'd be nice. You know, parimutuel wagering has its advantages. This will offer another option. It may be an option that will bring new people into the game potentially. Certainly, there is no shortage, particularly these days with social media, of people who want to point out the gates open up and your horse leaves the gate at 4-1. And as the horse takes the lead around the far turn, goes down to 9-5. And that infuriates people, understandably so. I think some people think there's, you know, hanky-panky. I just think it's the technology is surprisingly in this day and age. But I mean, you can bet right to the opening of the gate, and so there is a certain lag time for, you know, a horse a track on the East Coast. I mean, you think about it, you can bet right up until the gate opens. Well, there's people betting on the West Coast, and so that has to make the transmission across the country. So there is certainly some logical explanation for a delay in odds changes. As I say, with technology these days, some of it seems to drag a little longer. But again, people have complained about that for a while. This may offer some type of solution to that, and maybe, as I say, an interesting way to bring new people into the game. But the next couple of months will be kind of an experiment. We'll look at Monmouth as offering up perhaps a formula going forward. We're getting to that point where the winter spring tracks are winding up and we're going full spring summer, and two of those tracks, Oaklawn and Tampa. Oaklawn will wrap up their meet today. I pulled up stats to take a look at the jockey trainer situation down there, and going into the last day, at Oaklawn. David Cabrera, 62 wins. He is the leading jockey. Francisco Arrieta has 60, so it's 60 to 62. Santana has 58. Ramon Vasquez, 44. Florent Giroux, 30. So David Cabrera currently leading in the jockey standings down at Oaklawn for that current meet, which will end today. We'll have that here on the network. I'll take a look at some of those races later on this afternoon on OTB Live. On the trainer side of things, it is settled and settled in a resounding fashion. Steve Asmussen, the leading trainer down at Oaklawn this season, with 62 wins. Robertino Diodora with 42, so 20 wins back going into the final day. Brad Cox has 31. John Ortiz has 27, as does Carl Broberg. Chris Hartman, good meet. He had 23, but 23 from 102 starters. So Hartman, a nice meet. Ron Maquette, 20 wins as well. Federico Villafranco, guy I always like down there and think floats under the radar. 15 wins, but in 106 starters. So that was a decent little meet as well. Tampa wrapped it up yesterday. Although, if you pull up the stats from Equibase, the stats show that the current meet goes from July last year until the end of May this year. And there's that quirky little short summer meet that somehow starts, ends one year and begins the other. And it is a fluke of Florida legislation. But again, there are 2 or 3 days, May, June, July. I forget where they place them exactly, but it's just they have to do it because of some kind of legislation. But for all intents and purposes, their winter spring meet ended yesterday. And on the trainer side of things, it was, again, Gerald Bennett winning the trainer's title down at Tampa. 36 wins. Kathleen O'Connell had 29. Rafael Schiste had 26. Juan Arriagada, 23. Chad Brown had 18 wins in 41 starts. He was clearly going over and enjoying the turf course over at Tampa this year. And 18 for 41 is a solid 29% there. So he was doing very well when he popped over to 29%. And I'm just looking. Yeah, it was actually 44%, 18 for 41. As I say, going over and kind of using the turf course over at Tampa and being very successful with a fairly limited number of starters. But overall, again, Gerald Bennett gets it done on the trainer side down at Tampa. On the jockey side, it was Sammy Camacho, 85 victories. Pablo Morales, 71. Fernando de la Cruz, 67. So no surprise there. Sammy Camacho, pretty proficient right from the get-go down at Tampa this season. So Tampa in the books. Things wrap up at Oaklawn a little bit later this afternoon. And as I noted, we will have that in the mix this afternoon on OTB Live. And I'll be back in, it's 11, an hour and a half or so, an hour and a half, couple hours. We'll jump back in for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon, the day after, as it were. Hopefully, again, tough to maybe come up with a winner in the Derby, but there are opportunities otherwise at Churchill yesterday. So I hope you have a little dough in your pocket to shoot this afternoon. And we will be playing, looking obviously at some Belmont, some Oaklawn, and more. Should be a fun Sunday afternoon. The day after the crazy second longest price in Derby history at 80 to 1 with Rich Strike getting it done for under the radar connections and being claimed for $30,000. As I say, I suppose it was a good story, but it kind of takes the air out of the balloon a little bit. But and it's just going to be interesting to see now who elects to go to the Preakness, and hopefully this guy goes. I mean, I very intrigued to see what he can do back to back. But I think with that early pace, I think this Derby is going to be reflected on as being very, very fluky. And I think that thought will be validated kind of going forward, perhaps in the Preakness, but certainly as we get into the spring and summer three-year-old stakes. I think, again, this will be looked on as a rather fluky result. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. As always, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. And once again, be back in an hour and a half, a couple hours or so with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So we'll see you then. We'll be right back.